Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm. And today, an old friend is back. We have Nathan Englander here. He has, of the five books he's written, he's talked about four of them, I think, with me. Now, we've got a book called Kaddish.com. It's published by Knopf. And Nathan Englander has written what they are saying all over the book flap is his first light and funny book that can be read in one sitting. The one sitting part, I think, is true, but the light and funny, we'll see. I'm not so sure of, because Kaddish is the prayer for the dead that a child says, usually the male child, if you're from an Orthodox family,
yes,
for the death of a parent. And in this book, the male child has gone off and is no longer religious. His sister knows, as my sister would too, that if he says that he's going to say Kaddish, he's probably telling a story. It's probably all made up. And the worst of all, I mean, what an idea, the father's soul will not find, it's the Nechama, right?
Neshama, yeah.
Neshama, okay. Hebrew.
Yeah.
You have to direct the soul to the afterlife. And
yes,
it's through the saying of the Kaddish that the soul is taken care of till it reaches what I like to call the heavenly throne room, but there is no such thing,
yes,
officially in Judaism. But I have all sorts of ideas, because in my world, my grandmother now,
yes,
who lived to be 101, is sitting to the left of the heavenly throne. You see, many of the figures in the heavenly kingdom are known for this or that,
yeah,
for their purity, for their kindness. But Grandma was known for her wisdom. And of course she would be to the left of the heavenly throne, because who doesn't need wisdom?
Yeah, that's God's good ear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so here we have a boy whose father has died. How old is the father when he dies?
The important part to me is that Larry, who gets born again, this book is about flipping, but Larry is 30 at the time, and his father is, I like the reader, within whatever boundary you want to imagine. But I did all the math. There's a good range that allows for him to be liver spotted and white bearded, but I don't put an age on him.
The father...
old enough to die.
The father is a good father. Whether or not Larry is a good boy is open to debate at the beginning of the book. But the father is a good father, and Larry can even say, Dad understood me.
Well, that's a giant part of this book is, you know, I mean, so much of this book is about reflection. Point is, I'm so not religious. I call myself radically secular all the time, but everyone's always teasing me about my Jewish soul. And a lot of this book is about, you know, good and bad and ideas, you know, again, our country's being like riven, you know, with this idea of lack of ethics. But the idea of being a good boy, I think it still matters to me as an almost 50-year-old man, like that idea, so that his father can see to this apostate, this guy who left, and tell him on his deathbed, you are good. That to me, as the writer of it, that's like a giant moment at the front.
It's a huge moment. And let's face it too, though, Nathan, although you may not practice the religion as your family once did, you were taught it.
Yes.
Many people were not even taught. So you knew your Hebrew. It wasn't just that you got bar mitzvahed. You probably went to services three times a day.
We were, yeah, I mean, my family's still you know, religious, and back to how this world is swinging, like religion has gotten a lot more religious. Like, you know, even the stream of like orthodoxy that I grew up in is, you know, you didn't used to see like, you know, that many black hats. I was just out of my old town. And, you know, yes, I was praying. Yeah. 7 days a week. That's how it went. Maybe I'd, you know, when I got naughty, I'd skip Sunday maybe, but I was putting on tefillin. I was at synagogue. That's where you were.
It's so funny. You know what I just heard? This is how the world has fallen. I didn't hear you say black hats.
Yes.
I heard you say black cats.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, well, I have a black cat at home. Yes. He's my pet.
Yes.
But you're talking about the black hats.
If I accidentally send us to our pets, the show will change. Like, all I want to do, you talk about your black cat, I'll talk about my black dog, and we'll both be so happy.
Yes. Well, it's easier than talking about a beaver hat?
Yes.
What do you call it?
The strimal. The big beaver hats are strimals.
Uh-huh. That the, what kinds of Jews?
Hasidim wear strimals.
The Hasidim wear, even on the very hottest days. How do they do that?
That's funny. All the years I lived in Jerusalem, that would come up. All like when people come to visit, you know, when you're living there, everybody loves to be like, aren't they hot? The answer is probably yes.
I'm talking to Nathan Englander about his new novel, Kaddish.com. Larry pays a website called Kaddish.com where purportedly someone, a student, a yeshiva student in Jerusalem, will continue to say the prayer for the dead for the 11 months that it's appropriate, and he just has to pay to have the prayer said.
It really falls to him to say the Kaddish, and literally, you know, his departed father's belief, his sister's belief, if he doesn't say it, if he is not actually advocating here on earth, as you said, the father's burning in hell. Point is, it's such a giant weight, and yes, he looks at some pornography, and we had the Jewish guilt aspect, but he ends up on this site where he finds a proxy. But I kind of love, from growing up, the internet is new, but the idea of Jews and proxies, I'm really, it's a really sweet notion.
Who is not living a religious life has the ability to say Kaddish three times a day, let alone eight times a day? You say eight times a day.
Well, you go to Minyan three times. You'd have to say. So this is also why, you know, I used it for the structure of the novel, because it's an impossible ask. If you're not religious, to actually have to go to a synagogue, to appear at synagogue at prayer time three times a day. And yes, and it gets uttered eight times. It is just too much for him. It's, you know, she knows he's not going to do it. He knows he's not going to do it. Oh, but the proxy thing I want to say is, I don't know if you remember this from childhood, because we were talking about our childhoods before, which is like, I love the notion. Like, I was just in, you know, I went to Moscow for book tour in December, and my mother gives me $18, you know, to give charity, give tzedakah when you land, find someone who needs it, find a charity box, and that you are no longer yourself. Like, I am my mother's charitable proxy, and therefore, like, your flight is safe, your trip is safe.
Wow.
You know, I love that notion. So it's not, I made up this site and the idea of like putting the Kaddish on the internet, which I'm sure there'll be a million places if there aren't already. But yeah,
I think there are.
But yes, you can pretty much, as we know, find anything in the machine. It's all in there.
That's right. He is inevitably sitting Shiva, as we say. Yeah. The neighbors come over. You're not supposed to shave. You're not supposed to look in a mirror.
Yeah,
the mirrors
are
covered.
The mirrors are covered.
The doors are open for people to visit.
Yeah, you don't knock. That's a nice part of the tradition. You just come on in.
And if you are one of the mourners, you don't sit on a couch. You sit on the equivalent of a stool or a cushionless seat comfort.
Yeah, it's really like it's so ancient. It is really mourning. Like, yes, you do not sit in a comfortable chair. And that's part of his rebelling. And if you've ever like go back to that world, he just goes in there with a chip on his shoulder. That's how the book starts. Like, all your friends are staring at me. He's just suffering with the community pouring in. Like, a week of that already is too much, let alone 11 months.
You've only finished part one of this book. And you turn the page. This is not a what do they call them? Revealers?
Oh, no, no. Thank you. Yes, we can't even discuss it without talking about the first change. It's not a spoiler, which is, yes, there's a 20-year jump. And he's
a 20-year jump. He's 20 years older than he was in the first chapter, Larry. He's changed his name back to his Hebrew name and to his Hebrew nickname, Shuli. He's married a woman named Miri.
Yes.
And together, they are both teaching in cheder. They're teaching in yeshiva.
So yes, they both are fully involved in Jewish education and stuff, but they decide as a couple. This line changed the whole rewrite and the building of the book. I decided that they're a couple, and they decided it was really important that one of them learn full-time, and they decide that Miri should because she's smarter. So he teaches in his old yeshiva, and she's involved in teaching classes and whatever, but she's learning in full-time study.
He's just escaped
the
extremity of the commandments. How many of them are there, supposedly?
Taryak, 613.
613 in the Torah. And really religious Jews don't regard you really as a Jew if you're not trying to fulfill these commandments. Trying.
Yeah, no.
Not succeeding.
It almost like makes me faint. I want to lay down on my fainting couch when I say this is my most Jewish book yet. You're like, how Jewish could a book be? But I've never, you know, written a word about Jews. It's just a universe to me. And you're making that point now. Like, we didn't even, there was only one way to be Jewish when I grew up. Like, there wasn't even other streams. Like, you basically were just outside our world. So yes, there was a singular way to be, and it was our way.
It's amazing to me because, you see, I did this. I went to the Hasidic shul to say Kaddish for my father. Everyone knew I was only coming once a day, so I was not a very good son.
Yeah.
Anywhere else.
It's so beautiful to me that you went into this world, that you did it. Like, what a lovely commitment. And yes, to them, I mean, to the law, you are right. You're doing this, taking on this giant thing. And to them, it's not to put it on those people, but I can say religiously, it's a failure because you're missing. It's a 33% shot.
So we're watching this man who's decided. Imagine if you know the story of Jacob and Esau. Is it Jacob and Esau?
Yes,
Esau loses his birthright.
For lentils.
He sells it for a pot of lentils.
Yes.
And Jacob, who's not the older, who's not the favorite of Abraham, is tricked. Jacob is given by his mother, Sarah, the opportunity to have the birthright.
Yes.
And imagine what would happen if Esau were to come back and get his birthright back.
This is why I like to talk to you. First of all, I'll give you my recipe for my red lentil soup that I love. It's not mine. I didn't create it, but I love it. But this is the first injury. Like, we're talking about the lentils. Like, I've been waiting for to me, that's exactly what drives it. It's almost like, you know, I've been calling it like dystopian kosher or a mystery. I don't know what to call it, but like, that's the point. When he comes back to Judaism, I literally think of that moment. He needs his birthright. He's given his father's soul away. Like, that drives this whole book.
Yes. And he decides that this has been a terrible mistake to have his father's soul prayed for by proxy. So he goes all the way to Jerusalem to look for the people he paid to pray for his father and buy it back from them, and he will do the prayers. He will do the prayers, but no matter how he looks, something's wrong.
Yes, everything goes wrong until it goes right. It's, you know, but I really saw that. It's odd. Sometimes you have a weird picture of a book. I was like, I see it as laugh, 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 cry. That's my structure for this book. But yes, it is. I guess I want to mention neuroses when you're saying that now, because back to our crazy country and how we read the Constitution, it's pretty clear to me, you know, a lot of things, how that Constitution should be read, you know, like if you need your own, you know, private bazooka at home. But that idea, it's his reading of the law also back to his wife, because it is, you know, that's where the old world and the new meet, because it's the religious world and the anxious world, because it's there's a crazy making element to it. It's such a close reading that he decides it's lost. It goes down the rabbit hole of Jewish law to Kinyans. I really went down the rabbit hole. But
well, it's fascinating because his wife, Miri, can understand. He's been suspended for 2 weeks from his job at the Jewish school.
Yes.
So go ahead. Yeah. Look in Jerusalem. See if you can buy it back. Even his children, they have two children, a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
Even his children can understand. It's an adorable book in this way, in that the crazy extremes are acceptable. It's the acceptable things that are thought of as crazy.
Yes.
His sister, how do you pronounce her name?
Dina.
I said Dinah, and I thought, that's not a Jewish name.
Yeah, Dina.
Dina says, if you miss even one service, I will not forgive you.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's going to go home to Brooklyn. What is she doing living in Tennessee, a Jewish girl? But he knows he's going to go home to Brooklyn and not go to all the services. She'll never know. Why should he tell her? And as I'm reading, I'm biting my fingers. This could have been me.
Yeah.
I did go to all the services only because I did not want to disappoint my family. My sister offered, she said to me, we can pay people to pray for Dad. We can pay people to pray for Mom. I said, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And so he happily finds on the computer people who do this kind of proxy work. But as you can imagine, just as his sister wouldn't be able to check and make sure that he goes to all of the services, how does he know that the people at Kaddish.com are actually saying the prayers?
Yeah, this is his mission.
And you see, if you happen to have had a father like my father, and most fathers are like my father, my father could get lost anywhere. Imagine my father trying to find his way without the direction of prayer to the heavenly throne, to the afterlife. He'd never get there. You know, he was a wonderful, kind, sweet, funny, unforgettable man. I mean, he was my father. And I knew that with his clumsiness, which is my clumsiness too, I don't even drive, that unless I prayed and prayed and prayed, he'd never find his way to see the face of the Holy One, blessed be he.
You're such a kind and generous reader, but like, this is literally the, you know, like that's,
this is the book.
This is the book. But one thing you're saying that's so much the book, that's central to this book, but what you just said now, the conceptions of heaven are in this book, and that's it. It's this place that we're on, we're in this world, and we have to imagine it. So just now you've talked about the path, the throne, like, and you know, I have some happier ones and some scarier ones in this book, but such a part of the education is building what the world to come is. It's metaphors. It's how you end up being a writer. But thank you for sharing it with me and the listeners, but it's like, we all have our own metaphors for, if you believe in those spaces, what it's supposed to look like.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. You're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with Nathan Englander about his new short novel, Kaddish.com. Very readable. What they say is true. You can read it in one sitting if you're that kind of person. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Nathan Englander about his new novel, Kaddish.com, a streamlined comic masterpiece about a son's diabolical scheme to shepherd his father's soul safely to rest. Well, you see, what you say about being a real boy, and it's all Pinocchio.
I was just, as soon as you said real boy, I was like, Pinocchio.
It's all Pinocchio. Are you really a good boy? Are you a real good boy?
Yes. A friend a few years ago got me to read
Pallotti.
Yeah, it's terrifying. That is like the meanest, darkest book. You know, I'm all thinking like the Disney version. It was so scary and almost with no redemption, which is what made it almost cacklingly funny and great to read.
What is good? What is good? I still don't know.
But now, yes, there's the nuanced what is good, but back to our current state of America today, where we are literally like it is policy to attack our most vulnerable populations. You know, yes, I can tell you what bad is, even if we're going to work on good.
I can sometimes recognize bad, yes. But good, well, I think you have to pray to be good.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that good is a reward of prayer.
Yeah. You know, I can process that and live with that if I get to say, like, if prayer is a very malleable word there, you know, like that's, yes.
Well, that's...
I mean, writing craft, I have to say, I feel like I've taken that whole childhood, all that education and rigidity and belief and faith, and that so serves a fiction writer's life, like all of that sacred time, sacred space, Sitzfleisch, keeping your butt in the chair, doing the work for the work's sake, all of those things. So yeah, as soon as you said prayer, I thought, do your fiction writing. I was like, okay, then I agree.
Well, that's what Larry agrees to too. He says, I'll pray for my father the way I would pray for my father, at home, alone, when I think of it, when he occurs to me, I'll say something internally that will guide my father's soul. But not in the shul. I'm not going every morning. No way. And he knows it.
But I think those are the cycles of the world. You know, like there's like religiosity, like back to the flips that I'm obsessed with. It's absurd to think that like every heteronormative set of parents would only make, you know, straight children. It's, you know, like there's going to be like that's the whole beauty of the world. And I've watched so many friends who's, you know, when people lose their parents, like you have a right to choose your own mourning, except this doesn't allow for that. There is one way to do it. But yeah, I'm so respectful. People mourn differently and nobody knows what anyone's relationship is, you know, with their parents. Like that's its own separate thing.
Well, you're very confusing to me, Nathan Englander, because as I remember, you decide that you will no longer be a
Orthodox,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Jew.
Yes.
And the follow-up is that you move to live in Israel.
Yes. It's maybe Yossarian-ish. It's catch-22. Certain things were, like, I'm such a paranoid, anxious person, and I was living there in this violent time, and it was almost like, you know, that feeling I have, like, they're trying to kill me. Like, oh, yes, everyone's trying to kill everyone here. Like, you're okay. But I think Jews got to be so comfortable in America that they got to rebuild the shtetl. Like, the generation before me got to be so American. My dad playing stickball in Brooklyn, and my mom, you know, in public school in Connecticut, like, in, you know, Boston, like... But this notion, they got to raise me in the shtetl. So I grew up in America feeling so Jewish. And I think when I left the fold, like finding Bohemian Stone Jerusalem, like everyone's Jewish. It was the one I finally got to be an American in Jerusalem because there's lots of Jews there. So my identity, I wanted to be an American. And in Jerusalem, I was the American.
Well, I found in reading Kaddish.com that I, you know... If as a child my nose was pressed to the window of the toy store.
Yes.
As reading this book, I was pressed to the window of what it was like to grow up Jewish at a certain time, a certain place, with certain expectations. And the book is both beautiful and funny and outrageously sad. And forgiveness is part of the story, too,
yes.
Because even the angry sister, Dina, recognizes that her brother, 20 years later, has gone through a transformation.
yes, I think a lot about redemption in this book. Like, that's it. He's not only, we talked about the main thrust, which is to go find this man, you know, Chemi, who's the student who's praying, and get his rights back. But he wants to fix things with himself, with his dead dad, with his sister. And even at the beginning of the book, where he's looking at, you know, self-love, he's looking in this, you know, he's looking at porn, you know, and his anxiety about death, this ultimate guilty moment. But back to the other thing of our computer's
life. He hides
life.
The result in a tissue that he throws into the nephew's fish tank. It's that kind of book.
It is that. If you're going to go back to tradition, if you're going to have a go big or go home, if we're talking about, like, yes, if we're doing meta, yes, it is a shocking masturbation scene. He's looking at a, you know, a clip online, like, even that idea, he needs to fix things with her. Like, this whole book, there's that, you know, very Jewish and, you know, low-hanging notion of tshuva, but of redemption. But yes, he really, that's the whole second half of the book, is him trying to put everything right with everybody, which is
not
a lot
only
of weight.
That, he has a student who's a double for himself when young.
Yeah, that's basically what triggers this hunger. He feels he's back in this world. He has a settled life, and it's this young student of his. He discovers that that student's father has died, and this is a naughty student, you know. And
he doesn't stand up to say Kaddish.
Yes, and
he doesn't
horrified.
Do all the things that Larry did when he was a child, and it's for redemption. Yeah. By proxy again.
And this is the point when you've become fanatical in something. I'm not saying that judgmental. I'm saying he is so deeply, his whole life, he's so thankful for what he got back and is so sad for all that lost time. For him to see a little boy making the same mistake, it just knocks him off balance in such a giant degree that he, you know, can't get his footing back for the...
I want to say that one of the ways in which we get our footing back is through reading.
Yes.
That if you read the right books, they tell you how you can both misbehave and take it back.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
I was wrong 20 years ago.
Yes. More people should try. Listen, yeah, we just heard you say that. It's not so hard to say now, is it, if you know you've been wrong?
I've been talking with Nathan Englander, author of Kaddish.com. It's published by Knopf. It's always a pleasure to see you.
I really love talking to you.
You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show. Also available at Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Did you know we're broadcast in Berlin?
That is a great... I'm happy. Two of my favorite things together.
Plus, you can listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. Special thanks to my co-producer, Alan Howard. The technical director is Mario Diaz. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when John Lanchester is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.